Welcome to Season 2 of the Predator Podcast. Here on the Predator Podcast, we will talk about all things predator hunting. If you're a predator hunter or wanting to become one, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Drew, and on this podcast, we will talk with fellow predator hunters all over the United States about the tips and tactics they use to put more fur in the truck. I'd like to give a special shout out to my partner for the Predator Podcast, Dark Knight Outdoors. If you're in the market for a thermal optic or accessory, look no farther than Dark Knight Outdoors. Jamie is second to none. I got a chance to meet him, sit down with him, and he's a great guy, and customer service is off the charts. I would highly recommend it. If you look at my description below, you will see there's a couple of discount codes there. You can use the code PredatorPodcast23. That'll save you $50 on a thermal optic, and there's also a code there for accessories. Check out the link in my description below and check out Dark Knight Outdoors for your next thermal optic purchase. All right, guys, I'm back for the very last episode of Season 2 of the Predator Podcast. And this week I have on Mason Gomez from Lights Out Predator Removal, and I'm excited to talk to him. We got a couple different things we're going to talk about that I think will be awesome to hear about. So, Mason, thank you for joining me today.
What's up, Drew? Good to see you, man.
So I'm going to kind of let Mason tell us a little bit about himself, his coyote hunting background story, and then we'll kind of jump into it from there. So, Mason, tell us a little bit about yourself, your Lights Out Predator Removal. I'll just kind of give you the floor.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, honestly, to be 100% honest with you, I haven't been coyote hunting as long as some of these other guys. About 2 years ago, I was real big into duck hunting and just honestly, pretty much anything outdoors. I was getting into some bow fishing and stuff like that, and it just never was really, honestly, that satisfying to me. Honestly, how I got into predator hunting is we had chickens get killed by, you know, some coyotes, stuff like that. I mean, that's probably honestly the most normal story. People get into it because they had something getting killed or whatever the case might be. But I was, you know, desperate for land, not desperate for land, but I was trying to get land to hunt coyotes, you know, hunt coyotes. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a Facebook group. I'm pretty sure a lot of guys do that to gain new land, but it took off, honestly, more than I thought it would. I thought maybe I'd get 5 or 6 new spots to hunt or something like that. But we ended up getting about, in a year's time, probably about 20,000 acres over here in the local area. I don't know how you go about getting land.
I mean, where I'm at, it's pretty much farm country. I mean, just knocking on doors, knowing people. I mean, everywhere I hunt around here, like, is, you know, where I've grown up my whole life. So you just kind of know, you know, everybody, or, you know, people, and, you know, just kind of got permission that way. But, that's really interesting. And, what was kind of your sales pitch, and like, how did, like, you just kind of advertised it as Lights Out Predator Removal? If you want your, you know, predators to care of, get a hold of us.
Free service. I mean, it's funny. We said free service talking about that. I saw a guy on the other day that was basically trying to charge people for like coyote hunting, you know, paper, because we have a lot of pigs down here too. And right. This poor kid, man, he put up there, you know, oh, I charge this amount of fee or whatever. Man, all the local predator guys just ripped him a new one, because honestly, there's just no way you can charge right. I don't believe there's any way you can charge for something like that when there's so many people that do it for free. But I mean, also too, the other thing that helped is I got hooked up with another guy, that has lost, kind of like you, he's lived over here his whole life. And you know how that is with the farmers. They're by, oh, that's the blah, blah, blahs, or the blah, blah, blahs. And everybody knows everybody. And then,
right.
once one person knows one person, it's pretty much on from there. I mean, it's everybody knows everybody. It's a small town. Yeah. So, I mean, one person knows everybody's name. So that's another way. I mean, like you said, the word of mouth, I mean, that helped a lot. But that poor kid, man, he's posted on Facebook and everybody's like, so what's your hourly rate? What do you charge by the month? Like, you know, and he just, I think he ended up deleting that post, to be honest with you. So
yeah, that one probably was better in the deleted folder anyways. What state are you in? What part of the state? Just so people know where you're referencing.
So we're over here in Georgia, kind of northeast Georgia towards South Carolina line. It's a small town. It's called Hartwell, Georgia. it's basically a lake community. A lot of this too, we've had a bunch of new people come in from, it's kind of like a little town that's been taken over by people from like out of town. So we get all these people that come from New York and, you know, all these yippity place. I'm not saying New York's yippity, but I'm saying they come from towns, you know, and they see a coyote, they freak out, they get on Facebook, they type in, you know, coyote removal, boom, that pops up. There you go. There's 10 acres you can hunt right there. And it's just I probably get 3 or 4 calls a week, honestly, from that situation.
Really? Wow.
That's
interesting. Huh?
Yeah. It worked. I mean, it worked pretty well.
Definitely works well if you're getting that many calls in a week.
Yeah. And you can't just beat Facebook to death. I mean, we go to, like this Wednesday, we got, this Wednesday coming up, we have it's a banquet, but it's an outdoor dinner banquet. That's what they call it. So all the local guys, come to a church or whatever, and they're cooking their venison. However they cooked it, and everybody's sharing meals and stuff like that. So we're going to set up a booth there. Hopefully get a hold of some of the deer hunters that want their paths going, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I've never had anybody on my podcast that's from the South. So it's interesting. Do you do like a ton of like, I guess like what's your typical, I guess obviously calling, but like, do you do a lot of like, just like kind of walking around, scanning around, trying to shoot hogs and coyotes? Or
so I'll be honest with you. I hate pigs. I hate chasing pigs. Everybody loves it. You know, people that aren't down here, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get on some pigs. We're going to get on some pigs. But I mean, I think it's like kind of like the same deal with South Texas. They were really bad a couple years ago, but I think that people have been on, you know, there's so many new people that have bought thermals, and this guy's got a thermal and this guy's got a thermal. I mean, it's, I feel like the population has been somewhat under control, but also too, we're a lot of these guys down here, they don't advertise they do this stuff. It's farmers have to buy, you know, pig breeds and stuff like that, because, you know, you get 15 or 20, you know, pretty decent sized pigs. I mean, they can tear up a 30 acre field in like 2 nights. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But I mean, the way we do it is I always scan walking into a field, because we got so many wood thickets over here. You could walk in one field and not see anything, walk 300 yards, and there'd be two coyotes out in the middle of the field, just, you know, hanging out or whatever they're doing. But I feel like the biggest thing down here is just always scanning while you're walking in, because there's so many little places for them to hide that when they, it doesn't, you know, you can just walk up on them. You never know. But the pigs thing, I mean, basically the pigs, I don't get as many calls for pigs as I do coyotes. Pigs are typically something we just handle. Like if we have a hold of a property that we, you know, quote unquote service, you know, no, we don't make any money off of it. It makes people feel better. If there's pig damage or, you know, rooting up, we tell the owner, hey, you know, we noticed there's some pigs down here or whatever. If you want to start throwing out a bait pile of corn or whatever, we'll start swinging by. And typically we hope it's somewhere that has road access. We can just look in the field and just pull off the side of the road and take care of them. But sometimes there's a lot of walking about.
Yeah.
the wood thickets. They like the creeks. They like the bottoms, which is not easy to walk in. So, I mean, the easier the access, the better.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It'd be like, you know, comparable to, yeah, I guess any, you know, people that use dead piles to, you know, bait coyotes and drive them by to check them, and then they go in. Same thing with pigs.
Go about their day. Yeah, go about their day.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the most effective shooting them is fun, but the most effective way to get rid of pigs is trapping, period. I mean, it's just, there's no substitute for it. A big pig brig or something like that, or a Jaeger Pro trap where you can, you know, you get an alarm on your phone and you hit the button when you get to see all your piggies in there and you drop it and you go take care of them. But I mean, you know, I think it's easier just to just trap them. The problem is setting up the traps, which is hard. Now that is something that I tell you that we, and I told you to talk about earlier, talking about a free service. If it's something like where we have to go set up a pig trap, we typically do charge for like that. It's really just how hard it is to get in there, you know, how much setting up we got to do, because I'll be honest with you, it's a pain in the ass to set up one of those pig traps.
Yeah, I can imagine that it would be.
Yeah. You got to have a gooseneck trailer and you got to, you know, it's just a whole, it's a whole production.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. So is coyote hunting popular where you're at?
Oh yeah. Big time. After, I think and I've noticed it, and you've probably noticed it too. Here recently in the last year, it seems like coyote hunting has like exploded. I don't know if it's basically the access to like thermals is getting cheaper, and it not necessarily you have to have a thermal to hunt, but it just seems like, you know, with social media, it seems like it's growing more and more and more and more. I don't know if you've noticed that too, but over here, I mean, it's gotten pretty.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people than there was a while ago. Yeah.
I'd like to take a quick second to talk to you guys about Dark Knight Outdoors. As you guys know, Dark Knight Outdoors is partnering with me this year for the podcast, and I couldn't be luckier to have them join me. Just a couple of the things that drew me to Dark Knight Outdoors. They will match pricing. They don't have any sales tax outside of Illinois. And quick and free shipping, no credit card fees, and you get a free external battery pack with a quality mount to come with your purchase. And not to mention, if you use code PredatorPodcast23 at checkout on a thermal optic, you're going to save $50. So you're basically going to be able to price match to the best price you are able to find, and then save $50 on top of that. Also, if you're in the market for accessories, Jamie has so many different accessories down there, Dark Knight Outdoors. You can also use the code PPACC23. So that's PPACC23 to save 25% off all accessories. So go down to the show description and look at Dark Knight Outdoors website, and you will not be disappointed. Yeah, it's definitely grown. I would say it's sort of, I think it really grew big here in the last 3 years, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say now it's, I would say, leveling off a bit. There's not, you know, there's a lot of new people that I would say the last 3 years, but I think now I just don't hear of as many new people doing it. I'll get a message here and there about, hey, you know, I'm looking at getting a thermal, what should I get? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people aren't serious about it. But I mean, you know, there's a few that, you know, I can think of just a few that, but I mean, there's already a ton of people. So, I mean, it's getting to a point where there's, you know, you got to be really selective about where you're hunting, and, you know, you're always asking landowners if they let other people hunt, or, you know, other things, because like, I mean, there's spots out there that have, that landowners have 4 or 5, you know, plus people they let in there. And I just, don't hunt places like that. So
no, that burns my ass. Honestly, we had a what we're talking about. We had a big 30-acre piece of property. I'm sorry, not 30. It was like 45 acres. We hunt this all the time. Well, not all the time. You know, we give it rest. Like, we'll probably hunt this spot once or twice a month, maybe, depending. Typically more times than one, we'd hunt it just one time. Well, this place always produces because it backs up to a basically like a big I'm trying to think of what they plant in this field. I think it's anyway, something that deer like. I don't know exactly what this man plants on this, but they got a crop deformation permit. So, you know, they're always shooting deer off this property.
Just year round,
they're shooting deer. So there's always dead deer on the side of the property line. Well, you know, dead deer, obviously that's going to attract coyotes when there's 15 or 20 of them. So, this place always produced, cause they always had a food source. Well, we went out there here recently, for the last 2 months, this place has not produced. And I was like, I wonder what is going on. And I get a message from a guy that I know. And he's like, you going out hunting tonight? And, he's like, yeah, you want to? I was like, yeah. I said, I'll tag along with you if you want me to go. Well, this damn dude drives me to my spot. And I was like, what are you? I said, you hunt here? He's like, yeah, I've been hunting here for the last 2 months. And in my head, I'm like, son of a bitch. That's why it's this. I haven't been able to kill anything because you're over here burning their ears up. But this guy's new. You know, he goes out there. I was just trying to trying to help him out and hunt with him. But this, you know, this is one of these guys that don't really know, you know, and we're all like that when we first start. But he's burning their ears up with rabbit distress on volume 30 for 2 hours. I mean, it's just that, you know, so that spot got crossed off my list pretty quick. But all the guys, you know, the new guys, I mean, you got to help them. I mean, I know a lot of guys that are really ugly about new people coming into the sport, but you can't deny somebody something. If you love something like that, like I love predator hunting, honestly. But you can't deny somebody their right to enjoy something either. So a lot of these guys are just, you know, I don't know if they're hard headed or just, you know, assholes or something like that. But I told him, I was like, hey man.
Yeah.
No, you know, not to be an asshole, totally. Dude, but I've hunted this spot, you know, for a year now, just, you know, that's kind of hunting etiquette. I wouldn't really want you to come. I don't want you coming back here. And he was cool with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird because like I get people that like, so, you know, I'm fortunate that I have a lot of ground I can hunt, you know, but I've been at it for, you know, 12 to, you know, 15 years and just over time, you know, have acquired every year I get new, you know, try to get new spots, talk to new people. Mm-hmm. You know, make new connections, whatever. And honestly, I probably am down to less spots now than I've had ever, just because
really
so many spots that are getting hunted by other people. And what's really, you know, good, bad, indifferent. I guess I don't know, but people think that I don't hunt spots because I only hunt them at select times.
Yeah.
So like people think, well, hey, he doesn't hunt here very often. So, you know, I'm going to hunt there too.
Yeah. Well,
I might only go there 3 times in a year, 4 times in a year, but,
you know, the 3 or 4 times they're going to pay off.
Right. I might kill, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, dogs off of a place in my 3 times of being there versus someone else goes there 7 times and might kill 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So it's just
burning spots, just burning spots up. I mean, but it's hard not to do, especially for these guys that don't have a lot of spots. Of course, they're going to hit their spots more. There's some spots they got, or, you know, the new guy that, you know, got access to your piece of property is going to hit it for 3, 4, or 5 times in a month because he don't know no better and he just wanted to kill coyotes. But, you know, in all reality, he's making that spot useless to everyone.
Right. Yep. And the other thing too, that I see is like, there's guys that just hunt a lot. And so,
Oh, but dude, we hunt, I maybe once or twice a week, like during the week. And yeah, keep, you know, keep in mind, I'm sure, you know, we both got full-time jobs. You know, I work 50 hours, 60 hours sometimes, but yeah. I still make room to go during the week. I hunt. I mean, I would consider myself someone that hunts a lot. I hunt probably 2 or 3 times during the week. And then typically, I hit Saturday night real hard, probably from like 8. Yeah. Right now it's getting dark at like 8 o'clock. So we'll hit probably about, around 8 o'clock till sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And that is a lot to me too. Like I'm probably the same. Like I hunt, you know, probably four, you know, 3 to 4 days a week, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
But you know, there's guys that just hunt, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. nights, and you know, generally, you know, obviously you need a lot of spots if you're going to do that, and gonna hit your spots a lot. Or, you know, I guess if you don't have enough spots and you hunt a lot, you know, obviously that leads to hitting your spots a lot of times.
Man, burnout.
And yeah. And I also don't think it's the worst thing. You know, I know guys that hunt spots repetitively and have success, and I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. You know, it's just like, to me, if every time I go to a spot on another, like a repeat, you know, stand, I am going to do everything different.
No matter every time I go there. Different spot, different wind, different way you walk in, everything.
Yep. Different sounds. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. changing everything. And to my best ability, I'm going to try to not ever play the same thing twice, or, you know, do the same thing over again. You mm-hmm. know, and I've been to spots where the same exact scenario played out, you know, coyotes howled mm-hmm. in the same spot, or I saw one in the same spot, and I still won't do the same stuff. Like I just, I don't know. It's yeah. just something that I try to do to try to avoid, you know.
I mean, you're chasing the smartest. You're chasing the damn smartest animal in the woods, I believe. I mean, they may howl in the same spot, but they know damn well that you're in that same spot when you started playing that call.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, so I think it's something that all of us are navigating somewhat in at this mm-hmm. point in time. I mean, you know, I don't think there's too many hunters out there anymore that aren't at least somewhat having to combat, you know, pressure and educated coyotes and, you know, these yeah, things.
See, over here, I don't know about how, obviously private land access is going to be more preferred than public land, because public land's always going to be more pressured than a private land, just because the accessibility of it. But I don't know about how where for you're sure. at, but over here, down here in Georgia, we don't have like big. I mean, the WMAs are pretty big, but there's no like clear cuts or like big open fields to hunt, and the season for coyote hunting on WMA is like very, 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 very short. I think it's like a 2-week window. I may be wrong. Don't quote me on that, but I remember doing some research on it. But you know, it's no night hunting, no thermal, basically a 1 or 2 week time period. And I'm just like, I'm not going to rush out. I mean, I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm not going to rush out there for 1 week to have, you know, 15 other guys hunting right. near me. Just not going to do it.
Yeah. Yep. No, totally. Totally.
Just going back to the land access thing, I mean, of course, these guys that are going to want to hunt are going to be wanting to hunt private property. And if you're anywhere local, they're going to be trying to grab your spots.
Right. Yep. Yep. No, it's not going to go away anytime soon. And
no,
you know, I just have started to travel more and drive farther and, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, just make the most of the spots,
the good stands.
And when I try to communicate with my landowners, like, hey, I shot 2 there last night, or, you know, I shot 2 here.
Keep them informed again. That you're doing something, you know, keep them informed that, right. Hey, I'm so actually.
So that way, when the next guy comes and asks them, they say, oh no, sorry, I got a guy that's been shooting them here, you know? So
yeah, he's smacked.
That's them. Been really,
they love that's the videos, man. They love getting them videos, especially them older guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They think it's just awesome.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's why we do it.
It certainly is. And yeah, what's your? Do you have a night season or a coyote season, or is it year round? How does it work for you?
So Georgia considers pigs and coyotes a non-native invasive species, or a nuisance animal is what they call it. So basically, there is no limit, no regulations, night hunting. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think there's just no regulations at all. I mean, you can kill them night, day, however you want to, basically.
Yep.
But, yep, you know, that being
pretty
said,
much the same here.
That being said, I mean, I feel like there is right ways and wrong ways to shoot coyotes. I mean, I see people shooting them with like 22s and stuff like that. And I get it. Like, it's a nuisance animal, but I still try to kill stuff as ethically as possible. You know what I mean? I think we see it all the time on those groups on Facebook. Like, hey, I'm out here killing with my 17 HMR at 250 yards. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you did kill him, but how long did he run into the woods and suffer before he actually croaked over?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or you got that one that you killed, but how about the other five that you hit and ran off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I over here being no regulations on the coyotes, no season, no nothing, I think there should be some type of caliber limit. But I mean, I understand not everybody's got everything to shoot them with or whatever, but I think there should be somewhat type of, to be fair to the animal. I mean, nobody wants to see anything suffer.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so if you guys saw that pretty, I would call it viral video of the coyote getting shot with the 50 cal, Mason, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were the man behind the camera on that one, right?
Yeah, I was the man behind the camera. He's a buddy. He's a real good buddy of mine, but he's one of the team members for Lights Out. So we have three guys that pretty much like take phone calls, go check out spots, and, you know, talk to landowners. The guy that got a hold of the 50 cal, his name was Travis Ballard. And when we were talking about a production earlier, man, I'll tell you what, that was a production trying to get a coyote to cooperate with that Barrett 50 cal. It was rough, man. That thing weighed, you know, we had to take turns dragging it in and out of stands. And, you know, of course, in our eyes, we're like, oh, man, we're going to go to this one spot. And it's going to be, we're going to smack this coyote. Well, we went 2 days without seeing a coyote dragging that Barrett 50 cal around.
Oh, what did you say it weighed again?
38 pounds is what it weighed. But that's with a full mag.
It's heavy.
Yeah, definitely not the carbon fiber 223 you want to carry or 22250 you want to carry around, you know.
yeah. And what can you tell, like, what grain bullet and stuff did you shoot out of it and everything?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. It was regular ball ammo. It wasn't nothing like an Apex or nothing like that. It was just, I think it was like 350 grain. I mean, don't quote me on that. I can't remember. I cannot remember for the life of me. But no, it was just regular ball ammo.
I was just curious. Yeah. And if you guys saw that video, I mean, it just completely, and you guys shot it at like 40 yards, right?
Oh, dude, it was my air in the comments on the video. It's like, why didn't you show the aftermath? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't want the video getting deleted. You know what I mean? Because it looked like it just completely destroyed that coyote. But really, in all reality, what it did was it completely like emptied the coyote from the insides, just went everywhere. It was just a shell of a coyote. And on that video, there were so many negative comments. I mean, there was people, you know, that's awesome, that's cool. But a lot of people, I guess it's the people that don't understand, you know, not gun nuts and stuff. People don't know. They've never been coyote hunting. That's so inhumane. That's wrong. This is this. But in all reality, me and you both know that coyote didn't know what hit it.
No. I mean, talk about a quick kill. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little graphic, and, you know, it's
you know, different seeing the parts but go that, flying everywhere. But yeah. I mean, the thing was dead on instantly.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's, I think honestly, probably, I mean, if it's probably more humane than shooting them with a 223 and watching them spin around for 30 seconds, oh, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. I mean, I see these videos out there now of people, you know, pinning them through the back, you know, back legs and, you know, they're running, they're running across the field with their back legs dragging and they're dumping their clips at them and, you know, think that's great. But, you know, in my opinion, that, I mean, yeah, you can't get a quicker, cleaner kill. It's just
no grass, especially but 40 yards.
It is awesome.
Yeah, 40 yards with a bear at 50 cal is probably pretty humane.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know.
Have you shot it?
No, actually, personally, I have never shot it. I didn't
Is the muzzle blast and everything crazy on that?
Oh, yeah, dude, you can feel like the – it's – trying to think of a – you're in, like, really close to, like, a thunder, like, thunder when it goes – or lightning when it goes off and you get that delayed, that's what it feels like, the percussion hitting you in the face. And obviously you got to wear hearing protection or you're going to be ringing for a while.
But yeah, for sure that I can't imagine that's gotta be,
you know, most guys would probably be all over it, really excited to shoot a bear 50 cal. I'll be honest with you. It really didn't interest me a whole lot. I don't like shooting without a can. Like after I discovered like suppressors, man, totally. It doesn't, the older I get, you know, my tastes get different. The older I get, I don't want to shoot guns without, you know, when I was 18, I'd go out there with a Glock 19 and just shoot at everything and with no suppressor, no nothing, just out there blasting. But the older I get, I mean, if it's not suppressed, I don't care at all to shoot it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I hate recoil. Like
I
don't like recoil. You know, I don't know if it's the predator hunter in me or what, but I'm like, I don't really like I just don't like recoil. And, the suppressed thing is also, I'm the same way now. Like guys will be like, oh, you want to, you know, can I come with you or want to come hit my spots and blah blah blah, and then I find out they don't have a suppressor and I'm like, maybe it doesn't sound like such a good idea now.
We'll have to stop by AutoZone and get you a Wix oil filter.
Funny.
Honestly, predator hunting, I don't know about you, I don't know how, I mean, you've always been doing it longer than I have. You seem like you got quite a bit more years on me, but I feel like coyote hunting has made me a gun snob. Like I want a crisp trigger. I want like the best gun I can get. I don't want no, and not talking bad about the guys that, you know, have those that have like a PSA or something like that. But I want a quality build. I want a carbon fiber setup. I want a sub MOA gun. I mean, I want it all. And it's because I know I want to make a good shot on that coyote when I shoot it at 250 or 350 yards. Cause I don't want to miss.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I always say to people, like, if you think coyotes are easy to hit or you think they're big or whatever, take the skin off or skin one and then see them when they're skinned. And
yeah, you realize that
they're not a big target to shoot at.
No. I think a frontal coyote has probably really a good kill shot, probably only 4 or 5 inches width wise that you can hit.
Yeah, it's about a softball.
Yeah,
I would compare it to.
If you're gonna drop them how you're supposed to drop them, yeah, probably about a softball.
Yeah, that'd be my best guess.
Yeah.
And okay, so one thing that I am jealous of Mason for right now is he, as we have talked about before on other episodes of my podcast and with Jamie from Dark Knight Outdoors, we have talked a lot about the RH50R from IRA, and Mason is one of the very few people that currently has one on his weapon that he's been running. So
thanks to Jamie.
I'd like to hear his thoughts and see what he has to say about it.
Man, that's probably the and I'm not just saying it because I got it, because I'm not that kind of person that'll be like, oh, I bought this, so it's the best thing ever. You know what I mean? A lot of people do that. But I had the GH50R before this, and I hated it. I had it for maybe 2 weeks. That's where my patience probably, I should have had more patience and waited for SHOT Show to come out. And I would have seen that the MK2 was coming out, the RH50R, and I could have had it and been okay. Yeah. But I'm not the kind of person to say, oh, it's the best thing ever. I got it. It's the best. But this scope, man, the MK2, I'm very, very, very pleased with it. I'm not a big person that will zoom in on coyotes, just because I don't like image quality getting degraded. But I have found myself, because I can fine tune, on most thermal scopes, you're jumping 2 power, 4 power, 8 power, 12 power, 24 power. I think that's typically how they all go. Yep. But with the throw style lever on the top of the MK2, you can basically adjust the zoom up in very fine levels. So you know, not all the time do you want like a 2 base mag or like a 3.5 base mag. Maybe let's say you want like 2.5, just so you can see your reticle a little better. With the MK2, I can just barely touch it, and it's at 2.5, and I'm dead on target. I'm good. I shoot the coyote. It's perfect. I haven't. Yeah. I wish I had more videos to to basically post on the internet about it, but I haven't. I'm bad about not recording coyotes when they come in, but the big thing about the RH50R that I have not that I've seen somebody else talk about, but what really stood out to me is the microphone on the I know everybody is like, what's the image quality like? It's fantastic. But the first thing that I noticed was when I did look back at a video is how crisp the audio was. I would probably compare it to like an iPhone microphone. And me and you both know that like prior scopes, I mean, yeah, there's good audio, but it sounds like you're always like muffled somewhat, just a little bit, or that you're further away
you're in a tunnel or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like you're in a tunnel or something. And the RH50R audio is just incredible. Also too, it's got like a 25x60, I think it's 2560x2560 screen. I'm not super good with specs, but I mean, I know everybody says it's like a bolt, but I had the guys at Dark Knight, I think I got the pre-order for this scope. I got their like test unit. They really helped me out, man. Those guys over there are like fantastic. I've never met these guys, but I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic about the scope, but just real quick about them. I never met these guys in my life. I've never talked to them. I told them about a scope that I had bought. You know, I just spent $5,500 on a scope and I wasn't happy with it. And, they let me trade it in. They took care of me. And before they even tried to sell anything, I think it was Garrett I talked to, talked to me on the phone for for 40 minutes before I even said anything about buying anything. He was just talking to me about, you know, what the specs were, you know, what would work for me. And I've never had that kind of experience trying to buy something before in my life, but, just quick shout out to them. Those guys are fantastic. But the screen, I had the bolt, and I know the bolt has the same specs, but I honestly feel like the screen, it feels bigger than the bolt because the bolt has the rounded edges and the RH50R has this like a squared screen. So it feels like it's just massive. I don't know how many, what kind of shots you're taking over there, but typically a shot over here down here in Georgia, is probably and not like South Georgia or nothing, because South Georgia is like a different state. But over here, these fields that are like 60 acres, I mean, typically you only get a shot that's, I mean, the most you're going to shoot is probably like 350. And I can see a coyote like it's nothing. Yeah. with the RH50R. It's perfect, man. I couldn't ask for something. I was thinking about getting a hybrid 75, but it was just too high of a pace mag for me. But like,
yeah,
when the coyotes come in at 100, you know, 100 yards, 150 yards, I mean, sometimes I question if it's a 640 because it looks that good.
Yeah. And I think that, like Jamie talks about, he always says like that high resolution screen almost tricks you into thinking that it is a better than a 640 image. And
well, I mean, I got buddies, you know, and you know, you get what you pay for, but I feel like I raise stuff. I don't know. I was, and I'm not saying bad about any other company or by any means, but you know, I started out with AGM stuff, and their stuff was great. Their stuff was great. But you know, when you start getting into things more, and there's always a niche market. Like when you start getting into stuff you really like, there's like a top tier level and, you know, starter beginner level. I feel like iRay stuff is probably, at the top of the list as far as quality, but like, I'm honestly in relative to like the prices of thermals, I feel like what you get for the price of a iRay, the quality wise is like unbeatable in my opinion.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
I made the switch to iRay. I made the switch to iRay stuff, when I got this, the GH50R or the GH50R. So I get the names get confusing sometimes. But I have the GH50R. I made the switch to it and I liked it. It was okay, but I really wanted the MK2 when I saw it come out. There's a guy I like religiously watch on YouTube. His YouTube name is A Amatine. I think his first name is Anthony Amatine.
Yep,
I don't know if you watch him.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But I watched the video on the MK2 and I was like, I gotta get it. I have to get it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but no, it is
awesome, especially for you, like putting stuff on YouTube. That microphone, I don't think people realize how big that is and how much of a difference that makes.
Well, we've never had any. There's no other thermal that has there's no other scope thermal wise that I feel that I know doesn't have that amount of quality audio in it. There's just nothing.
Yeah. Yep. And I think he said that too in his video.
Oh yeah. And I think it's strictly the RH50R, if I'm not mistaken. They have like, you know, I think their flagship model was like the MK1. That's what they sold for years. That was like probably one of their best selling scopes. They recently came out with the MK1 V2 and I don't think it has the same microphone as the RH50R. I don't.
To my knowledge, it does not.
Yeah. And another thing about the scope, man, I know they advertise 10 hours. I think it's 7 hours of battery life or something like that. I can't remember the specs, but I'll tell you what, it's every bit of it. I mean, it's
that's a game changer,
big time. Because I know it's not that hard to change batteries out in the middle of the field. I hate changing batteries. I don't know what it is. It just irritates me. I hate changing batteries.
Yep, I agree, and I hate being on stand watching that battery bar go down. All of a sudden, dude, you're like, "Oh man, you know, I gotta get back to the truck. My battery's getting low." You know, I don't want any reason. Like, if I need to go walk over that next hill and reset up on these dogs again, I want to be able to do it.
Yep, it better, because the only time I'm moving in a stand is to leave or reposition on the coyote. That's it.
Yep,
and yep,
for sure.
But the battery life, man. also, too, I don't know if you noticed this with the RH50R. You may have looked at specs more than I have, but they offer. So, you know, like in the past, you didn't get a magnetic charging port. You got a USB-C. Yep. And I don't know if you've ever had this problem before, but bumping the USB-C or like taking it out of the truck and possibly breaking the USB-C cord off into the scope was probably one of my worst fears. Their iRay gives you, basically iRay gives you like a magnetic charging port. And so what I've done, I think we had a coyote tournament that was 48 hours. It was a solid 48 hours. I mean, we slept maybe two or three in between, but I knew that I was going to be worried about the battery life just because I didn't want to be swapping batteries all the time. So what I did was I bought one of those. So the RH50R has a pick rail on the side of it. So what I did basically was buy the guys at Dark Knight Outdoors. I went on there and I purchased their 10,000 milliamp battery pack. It's like a 3D printed, 3D printed like hard case that goes around a battery. That thing lasted the entire 48 hour hunt, but then it bolted right to the side of the, I mean, it makes it a little bit bulkier, but not so bad because that, you know, that battery pack they make is not that big, but it lasts forever. I bolted it right to the side of the MK2 pick rail and it lasted the entire 48 hour hunt.
I have the same battery pack, but mine's an M-lock mounted. So it mounts to my rail. And then I have the magnetic cord and, you know, just so I exactly like you're talking about. So you don't break the cord off in your scope or whatever, you know, could happen. And same thing. Like I probably could run mine. I have the Bolt and the Bolt 640 and I don't even know how long I could run it for. I haven't ran into a situation where I've had to worry about battery. So
are you doing, I feel like that battery pack, maybe like it depends on what kind of person you are. Like, I don't know. Like it depends on what your setup is and how long you're hunting. But like, I feel like somebody that typically stays out for like longer than, let's just say 8 hours or something like that. I know that they're like I talked about the MK2 battery will last that, but like how you said, you hate seeing the battery go down at all. I don't like seeing it go down at all. I want it to be at 100. So what I do is I just charge that battery. Like as soon as I get home from coyote hunting, one night I throw it on the charger and I don't worry about it. I just run it off that, pretty much run it off that battery pack the entire time. And it never drops below 100% when I'm out for 8 hours.
Right. Yep. That makes complete sense. I did that when I was in Kansas, like when we're hunting for like, you know, we're hunting all night long during, you know, day, night, you know, don't really have time to run back and charge everything up from start to finish. And that works like a charm. I just, in general, like I just don't want the bat. Like one of my biggest fears would be, all right, finally got these coyotes to come in and my scope dies. Like that's just not something that I'm going home.
I'm going home at that point. I can't. I was going to say too, about the RH50R. I feel like, I know on the Bolt, they have the laser rangefinder module, but I know that some people say it works fine. I personally just don't trust a rangefinder that's not integratedly mounted to a scope. My guns are too in and out of a truck too often to be, if it would be out, I know in the first night or two, it would be out of calibration. It would be, there's no way it wouldn't be that we throw them in and out of the truck so much. I mean, and I don't know about you, but I feel like having a rangefinder on a thermal is like one of the most important things to me. Now that I've gotten pretty serious about really, really serious about coyote, I want to know how far that coyote is, how far my drop's going to be. I got to know how far that coyote is. And I have to have something with a rangefinder, and the MK2 rangefinder has been, it's been perfect. I mean, I haven't missed anything that I've shot at personally by myself and not had a buddy, you know, run something off or, you know, jump shoot something or whatever. Every coyote that I've shot personally since I've had an MK2, I haven't lost one. Just because I haven't lost one before, but like knowing how far they are and where to shoot is everything to me.
Yep. Yeah. And from the videos that I've seen that you have from it, I mean, it's pretty impressive in my opinion. And I'll be honest, I don't have a rangefinder on my scope, but I wish I did. I have the rangefinder in my scanner and,
well, I mean, yeah, rangefinder in general, like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's fine, but like I run into situations every now and then where it, something happens fast or, or that situation where you shoot a sink, you call in a double, you shoot the first one, you know, close, and then the second one runs out there. And you know, you just don't have time to get back. Yeah,
you're not switching to your binocular.
Right. And like I just think in like situations like that, you could, you know, you probably pick up, you know, an extra dog here and there just because you have that on there. And that's definitely something I see and that I notice. You know, I think having a rangefinder in general is huge. But if I really, you know, maybe it's my old age, but I wouldn't mind having a rangefinder in my scope and my scanner just because I like just being able to, you know, okay. That's, you know, I like to get my bearings when I'm sitting. And the other thing I like is like when I have a scanner and I can see something while I'm walking in and I have a rangefinder on it. And like somebody would be like, oh, what's that out here? And I'll look and I'll be like, well, it's only 120 yards away. It's definitely not a coyote because it's not big. Like,
yeah,
you know, something like that. Like I always find myself like, okay, you know, yeah, I use it to almost ID stuff when someone sees something a long ways out or whatever. Or the other thing is like, okay, that rise, which maybe where you're at, it's flat, but where I'm at, it's, you know, kind of hilly. And
I think we all got that one buddy that what's that? And yeah. it's a rabbit. And it's always
a raccoon.
But it's like you said though, it's like you almost know. Like honestly, if you, I know this sounds weird, but like if you can't tell it's a coyote, it's not a coyote. Like if it's a little dot at like 200 yards, 300 yards, I mean, really, even 400 yards, it's not big enough to be a coyote. So it's not even worth looking at, in my opinion.
Yep. And I think part of that is too, like a lot of people that are new, especially new people getting into thermal, you know, everything is what's that. Until you get used to it and you start to see, you know, lots of different critters and.
Dude, but I mean, also coyotes. Too, I mean, and I know there's a lot of guys like shooting 384 stuff. They ain't got nothing against it. But you know, I mean, as an ethical hunter, I mean, we do still have to follow like guidelines. Like, oh, is this in season? Yeah. Can I shoot this? Can I not shoot this? Yeah, you know,
for sure.
And honestly, if I can't tell what I'm shooting at, I don't shoot. I don't shoot. I can't shoot. Yep. I won't shoot. I just won't do it. Now, you know, some of these other guys may take a chip at it and they'll go see what it is when it's over there dead, but I can't do it. And I feel like, honestly, that's why image quality is so important. And also experience too, because, you know, a red fox or a gray fox or something like that is going to move differently than a coyote. It's also going to be a lot smaller than a coyote. The tail's going to be bushier. They run different. I mean, all that stuff plays into it. And it plays into a factor about, I guess, being an ethical hunter. But I mean, and budget's a concern. I mean, not everybody has, you know, $6,000 to spend on a thermal to go coyote hunting. But I mean, I feel like if you're going to do something, obviously, you know, start out with what your budget does. But if you get serious on something, I feel like making that jump so you know what you're shooting, you know, I think it's super important. And that's honestly another reason that I was so worried about image quality is because I wanted to know what I was shooting at.
Yeah. Yep. And one thing, like, you know, one thing that's the big difference, like, between the 384 and a 640 is, like, you just, your distance of ID, your distance of everything just improves.
Cut in half.
Like, there, you can 100%, you know, kill coyotes all day long and ID them all day long with a 384. You're just not going to be able to do it as far out. And no. Which is totally fine. You just have to know those limits. And I
think there's limitations of your equipment, basically.
Yeah.
And there's important. There's limitations of everything. I mean, just because it's a RH, sure. You know, RH 50 yard doesn't mean it doesn't have its limitations. It does. I mean,
for sure.
You know, the guy that I hunt with, Travis, the guy that shot the 50 cal, we call him Tex. We call him Tex because that boy can shoot. I mean, if a coyote's out there at 450 yards and it's standing still and he can ID it, he's going to take a poke at it. Now, me, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to shoot that coyote at 450 yards. I'm just not going to. But, you know, it's but his scope, but basically what I'm saying is the limitations thing. His scope is 3.5 base mag, and that 0.5 gets that job done better than a 3 base mag, because he can positively ID a coyote at 450 yards, and he's a big gun nut. He knows what his mil dots or MOA is. He can take a shot at a coyote at 450 yards and drop it. I mean, I've seen him do it. So, you know, different tools, different jobs.
Yeah, very, very, very true. Yeah. Yeah. Nope. That's a great point. And, you know, there's just as much as there's limitations in your scope, there's limitations in your bullets, your gun, your caliber, your abilities. I think a lot of people don't realize their own abilities. And, you know, some people probably should shoot 200 yards. And some people,
I would say
they're out there at 500, let it rip.
Running, let it run full sprint. It's running full sprint sideways at 500 yards. I'm going to shoot at it. They do it, man. Yep. They do it all the time. And I was guilty of it too. Whenever I first started, I was, coyote. And it was, we'd shoot at one, the other one would run off, and I would dump at it. And I just, the more I've gotten into it, it's like, no, that's not. If I shoot one coyote one time and there's a double in the field, if I shoot that one and I know that coyote's not going to stop, you know when they're going to stop, or if they're going to turn back and look and check up and see if they're going to come back the second time, or, you know, stop to see what happened. But if one's full sprint, tail tucked, running, hauling ass to the tree line, I'm not shooting at him. I don't want to educate him. I'm going to shoot that one time. He's not going to know what happened, and I'm going to come back in a month and I'm going to get his ass.
Yep. That makes complete sense. That's been one of the biggest things, like, learning curves for me and my buddies, I think, this year has been everyone being suppressed. It's just like, you just don't need to, you know, we're also used to just bang, 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 you know, shoot one, just blast at the other one. And like, we are finally getting, I think, to the point where got used to it enough. Like, you just, like this morning we had had an awesome morning. We boom, shot one, the other one ran, you know, 20 yards, stood there, boom, dumped that one. Like, just, you know, just how you draw it up. Like, it's huge. And, like, obviously without them, you're shooting the one and the other one's gone, you know, running 100 miles an hour.
He's gone.
Like, just getting used to that has been, you know, we had, you know, like, you get them out into the wide open, you know, there's not a tree for 400 yards of any direction. I know it's tempting, and every, you know, it's easy to just keep pulling the trigger when you got an AR.
You got three guys. Yeah,
exactly. But then we just have found, you know, they usually do stop. From most cases that we've seen anyways, that I've seen this year, we've usually get them to stop, especially in situations where they have a long ways to run, they're going to eventually stop, maybe out there 300. Yeah. But, you know, I'll take that 300 yard shot with my 22-250, you know,
versus a running shot.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take one standing shot out there versus shooting at it 10 times running.
Every day, all day long.
Yeah.
But also, too,
not so hard on your ammo.
And it's not only that coyote you're shooting at. there's also, you got to think about too, those coyotes you don't see, the other two pair that's up on the hill that's right. coming in behind these other pair. Well, you drop one, they may be far enough where, I mean, they may not hear it, but I mean, how many times have you shot a coyote thrown on a pup fight and here comes another coyote, like you didn't just shoot that one, you know, you just never yeah. know. But if you're sitting there dumping, them three coyotes that are in the field, you don't see, you're gone. They're not coming back. You just missed yep. on two dogs. You just missed yep. two or three dogs.
Yep. I had one this year that I've had several instances of, like, sort of along the lines of one that jumps out at me this year was did a stand, had coyote come right in, boom, dumped it. And I, you know, went to pup distress, played some fights, nothing. Didn't think anything was coming. I got up, was walking out to pick up my call, pick up the look in my scanner. Oh, there's a dog coming. Mm-hmm. And I just dropped right down right there. And this thing just came all the way in and, you know, just like nothing ever happened. I had the one this year that we shot at like three times. And then I scanned to my left and there was another dog coming from the left. Just like nothing ever happened.
Nothing.
Like it had nothing no ever idea. Happened. It's but, just you know, crazy.
But if you weren't suppressing, you were sitting there dumping your mag, that scenario would have never happened.
Oh, heck, if you shoot once, I personally think you shot once without suppressor, there everything's gone. Immediate area, everything's yeah. blown out.
But you know, you got to do what you got to do when you don't have one. Because me and you both know that the getting a can process takes way longer than it should.
Yes, that's a very true. And it is a process, but I mean, I don't even know. Like I've had the question come up lately. Maybe I'll ask you what you think. I've had this question come up a few times this year is, do I get a thermal first or a suppressor first? What do you think? And I'm like,
suppressor.
If you would have asked me that question a year ago, I would have 100% said thermal.
Yeah, me too.
You asked me now. I was like, I have the ones I've had this year, I've responded suppressor also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, it's
such a difference.
I'm going to get a suppressor first, and I'm going to try my hand at day hunting before I buy a thermal with no suppressor and go out night hunting. I mean, you got to think, there's a bunch of.
I agree.
Well, and you know, and I don't know how about you. I know you said you got big fields out here, but sometimes we're hunting 200 yards away from somebody's house, and I don't want to wake old Farmer Joe up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
Shooting in this cow pasture.
I think back to all the over the years, you know, of doing that, you know, and
how much stupid shit you've done.
Yeah, totally.
You look back and you're like, oh, I can't believe that worked. Can't believe I did that.
Yeah. Or I can't believe I did that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can think back to times where I, you know, shot a whole bunch and then I, you know, the next day I wake up, my ears are still ringing and I'm like, man, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah. I work as I'm a Ford technician. So, you know, I'm in the shop all day and everything is loud in there, man. So the last little bit of hearing I gotta protect.
I don't blame
you. But
yeah, not to rewind back to it, but I only live like 2 hours away from Jamie and those guys at Dark Knight Outdoors, so I get to go down there every once in a while.
You get to pick at Jamie and them.
Yeah, and it's fun. I'm gonna go down next week or the week, I think. Yeah, about a week out from when this episode will be, I'm going to go down again. And I think, so I'm going to the, this Sportsman's Expo up here in Wisconsin. And, awesome. I got a booth there. And, I think, as of right now, fingers crossed, I think Jamie's coming up there with me for a day. So,
that'd be sick.
That's exciting. I think we're going to hopefully have a handful of, goodies for people to look at and look through, and all these guys that are asking me questions about thermals, hopefully they can, you know, get their hands on them. And
all I can say is anybody that's got the budget for the RH50R right now or in that area, I might just get the RH50R. I mean, if you're gonna show off the scope, I that's the first thing I recommend, dude. I know they're on like pre-order right now because not everybody's got them, but honestly, for the money, you get a whole lot of scope. You get, I mean, you get the great image quality, the great battery life, the great audio, the rangefinder, and you know that.
Yep.
You know that. You know, just like I know, you buy a scope that's $5,500. The last thing you want to do is add an extra $1,000 onto it to buy a rangefinder.
Yeah.
So
totally,
but that's what I'm recommending to everybody right now. Honestly, is this one?
I have been too. It's just so many people, you know, people want to buy it when it's in stock. I'm just like, dude, mm-hmm. it might be a while before you probably better off getting your name in the list to get one, because I think they're going to be tough to get for a while.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the word for it. Appreciative is an understatement from them guys over there. I couldn't ask for somebody else better to deal with. I really couldn't. Them guys are fantastic. Because I'm not going to mention any other names because I don't want to step on no toes or nothing, but I had another guy telling me he could get one and I was going to get on his list, and you know, it never came, it never showed. So, and I needed it for a competition. Not talking bad about this other guy. He's a good guy, you know, but when you're a dealer, your hands are tied. There's nothing you can do, but you're at the distributor's mercy. I mean, at that point, cause you're not making them, but I think once everybody gets a hold of a couple of them and, everybody starts using them, I mean, it's going to be IRA's bestseller. I mean, it's just, there's just no way it's not. Yeah. For the money, you can't beat it. There's just, you can't.
Yeah. Yep. No, I totally agree. I actually think, I was just talking with Jamie the other day. I think it was him that was telling me that there's a few guys that bought the very first RH50Rs, and somebody or some people sold a couple of them on like eBay or something for like $8,000.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Because people want them so bad.
I don't blame them. I want it bad. I don't know if I pay $8,000 for it, but I'm one of mine bad.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you. But it's interesting.
But hopefully, I guess whenever you and, we got to get everybody to get together. We got to get all the guys together. And I'd like to get y'all down. So we got like 30 acres down in South Georgia. I'd like to get y'all on for some pigs and stuff like that, since y'all don't get them all the time.
Yeah, I've never shot one. We don't have them around here. So
they got them down there in them big old peanut fields. They love them peanut fields.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. As we kind of wrap up here, can you just kind of tell everybody like where to find your stuff on Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff?
Yeah. So they're on YouTube. On YouTube, the channel name is Lights Out Predator Removal. There's a couple other guys that have similar names, not to be confused with them. It's Lights Out Predator Removal. And on Facebook, you can just find me on Mason Gomez. I think my profile picture's got a big old pig in front of it, me standing in front of a pig. We also have a Facebook group. It's Lights Out Predator Removal. We'll be posting on there a lot more here lately. I think I'm going to start trying to push a lot more content to YouTube and stuff like that. You know how it is. It gets hard sometimes. You know, your normal work schedule and, you know, work-life balance. You're trying to manage both of them. But yeah, that's where everybody can find me at.
Yep. No, that's awesome. And I'll put everything in the description below so people can find you. If you guys haven't seen the 50 cal video, you'll have to look it up. I think, what is up like 400,000 or 500,000 views now on YouTube.
Yeah. I think it's got 500,000 views on it, but, also too, we're probably going to do a whole like series of 50 cal videos, like 10 coyotes. You know, versus bear. Yeah, just for nice funsies. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. That first one was pretty sweet too. So,
yeah.
Like I said, if you guys haven't seen it, you'll have to check it out on his YouTube channel. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, Mason, I really appreciate it. Like I said, this is my last episode of season two. I already have a handful of guests that I'm going to record with this spring that I think everybody's going to be anxious to hear on next season. I'm excited for them, but I just really appreciate you coming on with me and, you know, talking coyote hunting, talking about,
it's always a blast,
everything. It's been fun. And, so thank you for coming on with me, and we will obviously stay in touch.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll get back on here. We can do another one here soon. We got some more videos of Barrett 50 cow stuff.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that.
Cool. Cool. All cool, right. Man.
Thanks, Mason.
I appreciate it, buddy. We'll see you.
All right, guys. Big thank you to Mason for joining me on this week's episode, and check the link in the description below. You can find his information, give him a follow, and follow along with the sweet videos and stuff that he has going right now. And again, this is my last episode for season two, and I do have some good guests already lined up and ready to record for season three. We'll start releasing season three around middle of November, end of November time next year. So I'm really looking forward to another season, and I just want to thank everybody for listening, and people who send me messages and things on Instagram, Facebook. I really appreciate it, and it's been crazy seeing the way that my podcast has grown. I mean, just to share, you know, some highlights, I was up, you know, up to number 61 in the podcast charts in the United States for the wilderness category. Had a solid handful of weeks there where we were in the top 100, top 80. And like I said, topping out into number 61, which has been huge for me in just my second season. The downloads have just drastically improved, and I just can't thank everybody enough, because everybody who's listening, sending me questions, giving me ideas, and of course all the guests. I mean, really, I couldn't do it without all the great guests. I don't think everybody wants to hear me talk for an hour every week, but the guests are really what makes it fun for me, and what makes it awesome to listen to. So I really, really appreciate everybody and all the support, and the people that have been following me since the beginning. You don't go unnoticed. So, I'm hoping to meet some people from here, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, maybe Iowa, wherever people are coming from to go to Wisconsin Dells to the Sportsman's Expo. I'm hoping to meet you guys and stop by my booth, and let's talk coyote hunting and look at some thermals. And I'm really looking forward to getting to meet some of you guys in person. And if you guys want to support me, check out Dark Knight Outdoors for your next thermal optic purchase. Use my discount codes in the description below for thermal optic or accessories, and that would be greatly appreciated. Leave me 5-star rating, review, and this off season, if you guys have questions, want to know what's working for me in the field, message me. I'm looking forward to staying in touch with you guys this off season, and I'm looking forward to another successful season of the Predator Podcast. So thanks again for everybody, for all your support for season two of the Predator Podcast, and until the next episode, shoot straight.